Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realize this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry, I'm fine, just fine.
Well,
this
worried.
Is Wretched Radio. There I was, sitting in the doctor's office. Don't worry.
Uh-oh.
I'm fine, just fine. Sat there without... I'm sorry, the memory is still rather fresh and painful for me. I'm sitting in the doctor's office waiting and waiting and waiting.
Waiting.
You know, when they say 8 o'clock in the morning and you're the first patient, you would think...
11:15 is a little extreme, don't you think?
8:05, I could understand. And even like later in the day, I get it. Somebody came in, it's an emergency, it had to be dealt with, it puts you behind. We're not cruel people. But the first appointment, you can't be ready to go. Honestly, at any rate, that was not my woe. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and waiting. Sorry, it's
still fresh in your mind. We know.
Carry on.
In your own time.
It's awful. I forgot my cell phone. I had to sit there and read stuff. Go through the magazines. It's the same old tripe. Honestly, Time Magazine basically might as well just rename itself Democratic Party Magazine. That's it. Just there you go. Got it. And then as far as like the people and the us and the you and, no, it's all me, basically. The Me Magazine, whatever, they're all Me Magazine. Just a total waste of trees. That's right, visiting the doctor's office almost made me a tree hugger today. Nah, it didn't do that. But it did make me just more critical of those magazines, which are just mindless nothings. Looking at celebrities, what they're hey, look, celebrities are just like us. You don't say. You mean they go to the grocery store, they eat too? Huh, shocker. They don't always put on makeup. Wow, fascinating. Please tell me more. Who bought a house? Oh, incredible. She wore what dress? Ooh, now I can sleep tonight. But that wasn't the issue. I'm sitting there running out of material to read. So I grab on the doctor's table thing. I guess it would be called a desk.
On the deal.
There was a chart on your organs.
Basically, oh, I thought it was a growth chart. Works. That'd be funny for you.
Oh, it was. You know, you're out of stuff to read when you're reading about
the
large intestine, the small intestine, the stomach, and how it works. And once again, I was reminded how any doctor cannot believe in God is a demonstration of the suppression of the most obvious thing on the planet. God exists. Honestly, how can they look at that and go, "Yeah, there's no God"? Yeah, that all happened together at the same time, miraculously. Just lots of time, a lot of things happen at the same time. Did you know there's more than one type of peristalsis? Well, I do because I forgot my cell phone and I actually had to read stuff today in the doctor's office. So peristalsis is the movement; it's the muscle movement that takes your spit or whatever it is you put in your mouth to swallow, moves it down. Because it could get stuck there, and gravity just doesn't cut it. So it needs like a muscle movement to, like a snake swallowing a rat. There's an image you can just let simmer for a bit. So you're swallowing a rat. Okay, I'm getting all confused now. I'm new at this whole medicine stuff, and it forces it down your gullet. But then once it does, it described that it goes into your stomach, and the acid that is there. It breaks down the proteins, but the acid, it's like a really strong acid, would eat through your stomach if you didn't have a lining on your stomach wall, and it also produces a mucus that keeps it from eating through your stomach wall. So it just eats the rat, but not your stomach. Well, wasn't that lucky? I wonder when did that come after everybody was having holes in their stomach from the acid, or did the lining happen without any necessity And then the acid came because somebody determined that was the order. No, there was nobody determining it. Just because lots of time and random chance and things like that. Don't ask any questions. You don't understand evolution. Isn't that always the response? No, you just don't understand evolution. This is irreducible complexity. It's complicated. No, no, it's not actually. I'm holding a pen in my hand. I would never in my wildest dreams imagine it just happened. You see, if there's a... Well, I don't want to get all technical here, but if there's a shell, it doesn't need to exist unless it has the pen on the inside. And the pen on the inside doesn't work if it doesn't have a spring. But why would a spring evolve with, by the way, the lining at the exact same time if it weren't needed because it didn't have the ink cartridge yet? It all has to be there at the same time. Remove one part from this pen and it ceases to function. Why would it keep evolving? Is that how it works, my evolutionary friend? The pen realized, hey, we're not very useful. We're not performing a function that nobody's determined. So let's say we now add a spring. Okay, let's add a spring. Millions of years go by. Well, now what do? We've got a spring, we've got a cartridge, we've got a shell, but we don't have anything to do. I know. We'll create ink. Now, they don't have paper yet, but that's okay. We'll evolve the ink. And where's the ink going to go? Well, it needs to go into its own little capsule. So which should come first? Well, we could only do one at a time, so do the capsule. No, do them simultaneously. No, we can't do that. Why would that actually? So what? Just don't ask any questions. You don't understand pen evolution. And don't forget, too, this pen also had to not only have all of the parts to make it work, it actually has to have a function that functions. A mousetrap without mice doesn't have a reason to exist, even though it might be something that's kind of orderly. If you don't have anything to catch in it, what's the point? If I don't have paper to write on, you don't need a pen. If you don't have a food to eat, you don't have a need for your stomach to actually chew it. And if you don't have the acid, you can't dissolve it. But if you have the acid and you don't have the stomach line... It's so nonsensical to believe that God did not design that. It is only the fool who says in his heart there is no God. The issue with God is not information. People are not lacking education. This is the bellyache, is it not, of so many unbelievers. Hey, what about these people on Boingo Boingo? Huh? They've never heard about God. Yeah, they actually have. All they need to do is look at their hand and go, huh. That's pretty amazing. That probably just happened all by itself. Look at the plants, look at the trees, look at the flowers and the bees, look at the sky, look at the stars, look at everything, and you cannot help but conclude the most obvious thing on the planet is there's a planet maker. And to suppress that obvious news is to simply be a fool. The issue is not information. The issue is not education. It's not knowledge. The issue is will. And that is why we need to remember to logic somebody into the kingdom. Rots a ruck with that. Because it is not wrong thinking that saves somebody. Wrong thinking being righted. Their thinking doesn't get righted until God supernaturally invades them, granting them repentance and faith. Belief comes first. Then their thinking improves. So you can teach somebody about irreducible complexity. That's not going to get them saved. Now, it might be some sort of an intellectual hurdle that you have to knock down. I get that. But that's not what saves. The issue is not knowledge. The issue is will. People do not want to believe in God because they understand the consequences that it will have on their life. They want to live any way that they want to, and even if that's religiously, it's self-righteously, not bowing the knee, surrendering everything to God. And I simply cannot understand how anybody who studies medicine cannot come up with that conclusion. Honestly, the duodenum, and that's somewhere in there too. I don't want to overwhelm you with medical knowledge. But and the pipe to get it from here to there, and it passes through, and then from the small intestine to the large intestine, and then more peristalsis to get it out. Oh, yeah, those muscles that are needed. Oh, yeah, all of the parts that go into functioning the human body, fearfully and wonderfully made. if you're witnessing to somebody and you are struggling, what's the nugget that I need to teach? What's going to put them over the line? It's not information. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. God supernaturally works. Let us not forget that regeneration is so supernatural. It is so counterintuitive. You think, well, it's got to be the thinking first. No, they can't think right. They need the Holy Spirit to correct their thinking. Faith comes first. So how does that work? It is a supernatural work. Are you saying that people don't think when they're hearing a sermon? No, they're thinking. But it's their corrected thinking or their wrong thinking confronted is not what saves them. God saves them supernaturally. And that is why when you witness to somebody who's suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, you can be comforted as you walk away and their heart still appears to be hard. It's not your job. You can't make that be. I could have shown that chart. If I had a pagan doctor, I would have said, see this. You tell me. Tell me God doesn't exist. Come on, tell me. You can't. Come on, what about irreducible complexity? Huh? How's about the mousetrap? Huh? What about this pen? Tell me. Huh? Doctor's not going to fall to his knees and say, I've been such a fool. I surrender all. It is not our job to convert. It is merely our job to proclaim, and God must do the supernatural work of conversion. So if your loved one isn't getting saved, stay faithful and pray like nobody's business that God will do the work that only He can do. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Always glad when you choose to spend part of your day with us. And thanks to our gospel partners. No, really, thank you. Without your generosity and prayers, we could not do what we do. Our goals are simple: preach the gospel, equip others to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. And our gospel partners allow us to do just that on radio, TV, the internet, and through the terrific resources at the Wretched Store. To our gospel partners, thank you very much. Which leads me to you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you consider it? Visit wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Your faithful and consistent support will help Wretched reach millions of people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you can, if you would, prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Couldn't say it any better than Michael Woolworth from Bible League International.
The world will drill wells and provide food and shelter. Those are very important causes.
Yes.
We smile favorably upon those. But getting God's word to believers half a world away, people you won't meet this side of eternity, that's on us as God's people.
Ain't nothing wrong with digging a well, but it is only the Christian church that can provide living water. Bible League International for decades, delivering Bibles to believers who have made a profession of faith, believers who have studied the basics of the Christian faith, are then given living water in the Word, a Bible, for just $5 per Bible. You could deliver a Bible to a believer overseas through Bible League International. Might it be possible you could send, say, 6 per month? Please call Bible League at 1-800-YES-WORD.
If you love Don't Stub Your Toe and its thorough gospel presentation, then you're going to love Wretched's evangelistic booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? If there's someone in your life that you fear is a false convert, or you want to make sure the church isn't filled with false converts, Are You a Rotten Fish is perfect for you. Are You a Rotten Fish is an informative booklet about true and false conversions. You know, wheat and tares, wise virgins and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct response of repent and trust versus, well, all the incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your phone or favorite computing device and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies today. Wretched.org/fish for your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish for you and your family and your church. Wretched.org/fish. The Mission Ball is genius in its simplicity. It is a soccer ball covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation. Great way to draw a crowd, make a connection with people, and ultimately create opportunities to proclaim Christ. And the Mission Ball is now available in 38 different languages. Over 100,000 have been used in 91 countries so far. If you're able to help spread the word with the Mission Ball, go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Whoa. Yeah. Nah. That's...
You gonna share with... You gonna share with the rest of us?
No.
You know, the radio show thing?
Todd, can you start the show?
Huh?
Start the show.
Just mind your business. I'm checking my feed. Honestly.
You have a feed?
Well, I guess so. It's something that's where the things pop up with the thing on my gizmo here. This is Wretched Radio. If that doesn't sound familiar, it's probably because you haven't been in public lately. Have you noticed moms and dads? Not quite plugged into the kiddos like they once were. You know, we used to go out to a meal. That was a special treat when I was a kid. It was a big deal that we got to go anywhere. Perkins, woo, that was five-star dining. Because you got to go to the wishing well to get a little piece of plastic that these days I'm sure some kid is allergic to, so they can't actually give those away. But nevertheless, that was a big deal. And what would we do at that table? We'd sit there and talk. These days, not so much. And it is not merely my observation. More and more people studying the issue of cell phone use, despite the fact that this article was really compiled. It wasn't much of an article. It was more of an assembling of statistics from studies from Arianna Huffington.
Well.
Okay, now that there's only three people left listening, we just dropped about six. Cut down on the size of the wretched audience here. Arianna Huffington, nevertheless, she just cites some studies in an article titled Parenting While Distracted. Mom, Dad, you do it this as you see fit. They had no solution for it whatsoever. Basically, the conclusion was, well, there's just times when you've got to use your cell phone, but you'll figure it out. Hold on. How do you figure it out with your cell phone? How do you manage and balance this thing? Can it ever interrupt your life? Well, of course it can. It's an emergency. It's something urgent. It's something that must be taken care of. You're home with two of the kids. The other two kids are out and about. You want to check it to make sure that they're okay. That's like, duh. But it's the constant obsession with looking at our phones that is causing more and more kids to be annoyed. They're calling it technoference. When mom and dad interfere with the family business because they got to be on their technology. You do with this as you see fit, mom and dad, but I believe that a Christian can get this thing figured out. This is somebody sent in an email the other day asking about dads working. Frequently these days, a lot of conversations about moms working, having it all, etc. But what about dads who are told, hey, you got to work. You got to sacrifice stuff. You want to get ahead? You want to climb up that corporate ladder? You got to sacrifice stuff. Okay. What are those things? And how much sacrificing do you have to do? The Bible's brilliant. It doesn't say how many hours a man should work because there's different seasons and different circumstances for everybody. And that's a lot of circumstances and seasons. So the Bible gives us principles. The Bible gives a man priorities. For instance, the number one priority for the man is not family, his wife. And it's more specific than family, wife, then kids, in that order. And so if the man is focusing on wife, then kids, then it's everything else. What about things like church? It comes behind wife and family. So if you, for instance, are volunteering at church all the time and your kids are complaining and your wife is saying, honey, we never get to see anymore, then the things at church have to go. Look, we love the local church here, but that these are God's priorities. If your wife is not happy with the amount of time that you are spending elsewhere, then those things go because she's on top of the list. Obviously, God supersedes all of this. I'm talking about the human relationships and realms that we deal in. Got to go. Now, what about work? Well, work exists so that I can be a fulfilled man, but so that I can provide for my number one and my number two priorities and give to my number three priority, which is my church. It serves a function. It's not who I am, which is why in America it's a funny question. We ask this in the West, don't we? Hey, what's your name, Bob? What do you do for a living, Bob? Boom. First. That's not who we are. It's human. It's what we do in order to support those other things that are far more of a higher priority. So if your work is getting in the way of your priorities, then you need to work on adjusting your work. Now, please note, I didn't say you've got to quit and immediately find another job. But you need to work toward that end to make sure that your priorities are just that, priorities. Now, what does that have to do with your cell phone? Is your cell phone a priority? I don't think so. It's a tool that should serve many other... I can't even imagine. Where would you put your phone on your priority list? So if you had to list... looking at my phone every day, however many hours that is, and it's probably hours, what priority is that? Why then do we spend so... I will just bet you most of us, if not all of us, give or take, some exceptions, no doubt, we spend more time looking at this screen than we do looking into our spouse's eyes every day. Now, that's... there's a problem. That's just an out-of-whack priority. What do? You figure it out. That's what you do. I don't tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do in these issues. You got to figure it out. And the Bible gives you that liberty to do so based on priorities. So if you've got kids that are complaining that mom or dad is not focusing on me, they're not engaging with me, and more than that, they're not bonding with me, you should drop that thing like a hot potato because it's just not nearly as important. Because the Bible gives me these priorities. The world can't do it. Hunter College and the Graduate Center at the City University of New York study creating a digital disruption version of the still face paradigm. It's a phenomenon dating back to 75, the still face paradigm. Remember, we learn from secular psychologists to a degree as they observe, that's all. When developmental psychologist Edward Tronick showed that after a few minutes of interaction with an expressionless mother, an infant rapidly sobers, grows wary, and orients his face and body away from his mother with a withdrawn, hopeless facial expression. This is why bonding is so important. So, Mom, if you're carrying your baby and you're staring at an electronic device and not into the eyes of your child, priorities, 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 priorities. Bond with your kid, bond with your kid. Just put it down. Look, can it ever interrupt? I've said that already. You can carry a baby and deal with the thing that you've been waiting for, or the phone call, or the kids are texting. Got it. But if it's keeping you away from this gorgeous act that God created, where a baby just, that's why your arm was made that way. Lots of other reasons. You couldn't eat. If your elbow were put like 3 inches lower or 3 inches higher, we'd have to feed each other. Nevertheless, I believe that it was invented that way just perfectly to hold a baby. And then you get to stare in that little baby's eyes, and guess what happens? They start to trust. And they realize I'm cared for, and this person is good to me. You don't do it, the baby grows wary, turning body, orienting face away from the mother, withdrawn, sobering up. That's a crucial time. Phone shouldn't interrupt that. It's not that the mother is absent. She's there, but not there. It's an almost perfect description of what screens do to human interaction. And as the researchers found in the updated digital version, the results the same. While moms are on their devices, the infants were more distressed, explored their environment less, and experienced lower emotional recovery when mothers put the screens down. Results like that suggest maternal withdrawal and unresponsiveness. That's what they're exhibiting. The mobile device use can have a negative impact on infant social, emotional functioning and parent-child interactions. I don't know what you're doing when you're holding your baby. But if your baby determines mom cares more about that thing than me, you're making a very bad choice. You're making a lifelong bad choice for that child. That bonding time, it is so crucial. Another study, how it affects the relationships. This is the Department of Pediatrics at Boston Medical Center observed caregivers and children at 15 fast food restaurants in the Boston neighborhood. Okay, granted, this is observational stuff. Caregivers absorbed in devices frequently ignored the child's behavior for a while, then reacted with a scolding tone of voice, gave repeated instructions in a somewhat robotic manner, seemed insensitive to the child's expressed needs, or used physical responses. One female adult kicked a child's foot under the table. Another female caregiver pushed a young boy's hands away when he was trying to repeatedly lift her face up from looking at her stupid phone. In general, highly absorbed caregivers often responded harshly to child misbehavior. It's as though they could not tolerate having any interruption to their screen addiction. The Bible gives you your priorities. Spouse, kids, church. Where's the phone in that list? I don't see it. I'd put other things like human relationships then, work, neighbors, volunteering, maybe even just some personal downtime. Oh yeah, where by the way, we put God at the top of the list, but where is he in all of that? With Bible study, etc. Priorities, priorities. This is Wretched Radio.
SOS Ministries hopes to see a national movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. And they do that through the local church, community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center, where they thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of that would be possible. Can you help? Go to sosministries.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkinis. In a startling twist, one of the United States' longest practicing abortionists took the stand this week in a California courtroom to defend undercover pro-life investigators David DeLeiden and Sandra Merritt. Dr. Forrest Smith, an obstetrician gynecologist who's also an abortionist in California, do not understand how you can be an OBGYN and an abortionist, really. He told the San Francisco court that not only did DeLeiden and Merritt's now famous videos expose the gruesome truth about the abortion industry's trade in fetal body parts, but that things are even worse than they knew. Smith testified, it's almost certain that some of the abortionists featured in the undercover videos deliberately altered abortion procedures in a way that both led to the birth of living babies with beating hearts and put women at risk. The goal in these cases, he said, would be to obtain fresher, more intact organs. Lord of mercy. Dr. Smith originally met with DeLeiden because he wanted to expose him as a fraud, but after he saw the videos of Planned Parenthood executives and those from the National Abortion Federation Conference in 2014, he realized that not only was DeLeiden telling the truth, but that he, quote, didn't know the half of what was going on. Merritt and DeLeiden from the Center for Medical Progress are charged with 14 felony counts of recording confidential information without consent in connection with their undercover videos released in 2014, exposing Planned Parenthood's trafficking in baby body parts. The defense is claiming a Section 633.5 defense, which allows the covert taping of confidential information when collecting evidence of violent crimes. Defense is also arguing the law does not consider as confidential conversations that can be reasonably expected to be overheard. By the way, if you're wondering, no other journalists have ever been prosecuted for similar undercover investigations under California law. The preliminary hearing is now over. The judge, Christopher Height, said that DeLeiden was, quote, engaged in criminal activity irrespective of his journalistic status. According to the pro-abortion news outlet Rewire, the judge has not issued a final ruling on whether or not the case should go to trial, but Rewire is predicting that a full trial still appears likely. The Center for Medical Progress said testimony from their preliminary hearing
demonstrates that Planned Parenthood, not Dalyden and Merritt, is the one that should be prosecuted. The judge, by the way, refused to dismiss a 2016 search warrant for Dalyden's apartment issued by then-California Attorney General Kamala Harris. Defense lawyers arguing that the search warrant was politically motivated, and Harris worked closely with Planned Parenthood officials to prosecute Dalyden after he exposed their horrific abortion practices. Harris, now a Democratic presidential candidate, also accepted huge campaign donations from the abortion chain. Yeah, reproductive rights? No, just follow the money. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?" This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nailed it again! Yeah, this is Wretched Radio. What?
They don't call you Mixmaster for a reason. That's, I mean, for no reason.
Exactly that. No skills whatsoever. This is Wretched Radio. Let's go to California, shall we? Lovely weather. That's all I got right there. Just
that's
lovely
all you got.
Weather. I take that back. There are some good ministries. Actually, there's a lot of good ministries in California. A lot of our good friends here at Wretched, Grace to You is there. Living Waters is there. Love lots of folk. Johnny Erickson Tata's ministry is in California. Probably a whole lot more, but lots of things going on in California that, wow, they're a little bit troubling. Prepare now to hear argument from anecdote out of California. Prepare for a lovely story, because some new legislation is heading to Governor Gavin Newsom's desk, and he's pledged to sign it. This is a traditional liberal tactic. When you do not have an argument, you begin with a story. You begin with an anecdote. Then there's no way anybody could possibly take the side against the person you just learned about and became sympathetic for. Tony, let's just say, for instance,
as
you,
an example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You liked, you didn't like pizza with pineapple on it. Am I
okay? That's a good example.
That's a good one right there.
Only heretics put pineapple on their pizza.
Yeah.
Then so burn me at the steak and cook my pizza next to it.
Let me just share a little story with you. Little Jimmy. He's had a hard life. Been denied so many wonderful blessings, even though he's lived in Hawaii his whole life. His family was poor. Father ran away when he was 8. Mother disappeared, just vanished. Maybe it was the rapture and she was the only one to go. We don't know what happened to the mom, but poor little Jimmy, living all, had to provide for his 16 younger siblings. Don't do the math on this. He had 16 younger siblings at the age of 8, and he had to provide for his little brothers and sisters. You know, little Jimmy didn't eat very well. I'll tell you that much. Starved, skin and bones, little guy. But one day, little Jimmy wandered by a pizza parlor. And little Jimmy looked so forlorn that the pizza parlor owner gave him a piece of pizza with pineapple on top. And
now it's child abuse.
It was the first bite of joy little Jimmy's ever had. Tony, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza?
It's gross.
Okay. The point was supposed to be that you were supposed to be moved with compassion for little Jimmy.
At least
gone,
it,
yes,
at least
it's
it
a
fed
good
little
thing.
Jimmy.
You see, there, at least it's so... So pineapple on pizza is a good thing. So you should stop with your attitude and stop being a pineapple hater because of little Jimmy.
Is that what all that does?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
When Zoe Murray got pregnant as a 20-year-old sophomore at the University of California, just reading the article, I think this was taken off of Apple, if I'm not mistaken. Santa Barbara, she knew she wanted an abortion. So she went to her student health center Is that the role of universe? Okay, I'm sorry. So she went to her student health center, where she went for almost every other health problem. The nurses there could not help her. So she ended up getting a ride. She had to get into somebody's car. She ended up getting a ride to the nearest abortion clinic where she had the procedure. But the whole experience left her feeling frustrated and actually really lonely. Quote, the nurse that helped at my student health center just kind of, she felt really hopeless too. She just gave me a piece of paper with some resources on it and just said to me, this is the procedure. Recalling the trauma 3 years later. Quote, my university wasn't there for me when I needed it. I found nothing but silence and stigma and a lack of community. The California state legislator approved a bill Friday night requiring all 32 campuses at the University of California State University systems to offer abortion-inducing pills to students who requested them by 2023. See what they did there? How can you say no to that legislation for the sake of poor Zoe, who felt, quote, frustrated and actually really lonely? This legislation is so bad.
How bad is it?
Governor Jerry Brown wouldn't sign it. That's how bad it is. Yeah, exactly. Gavin Newsom, thumbs up from him, of course. So this means 760,000 students enrolled on public university campuses will get the pill so that they can abort their baby via medication. I just love where my tax dollars are going. How's about you, state of California? Advocates say the program ensures students can actually get abortions without having to make an onerous journey off campus. I mean, poor Zoe had to get into somebody else's car and be driven to the clinic to terminate the life of her child. I mean, what are we? Barbarians? Quote from Senator Connie Levia, a Democrat and main sponsor of the bill. It's about access. Just because you have a constitutional right, if you don't have access to that wait a second, hold it. Which line in the Constitution says that you have the right to life, liberty? No, that isn't. To terminate the life of your child. That's the one right there.
Something about privacy.
If you can't, then it's no right at all. I'm tired of women being shamed. Well, kind of a mishmash of arguments there. A 2017 report on student access to abortion found the average distance students must travel from a California public university to an abortion clinic is 1,219 miles, requiring two airplane transfers. Sorry, hold on. Let me just wait a second. My glasses are...
That's not right.
Yeah, no, hold on. I maybe got that wrong. I'm sorry, it's 5 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes just under 40 minutes one way via public transportation. Governor Jerry Brown said this is not an unreasonable distance. Are you kidding me? We have to drive that far to get to Target. I mean, you know what? I don't actually have a right to Target constitutionally because I can't exercise it easily. So Target needs to be provided in my home. Work on that, Connie Levia. That'd be great. What went through my head? This is Connie Levia again. Here's another old white guy. What does skin color have to do with abortion? Here's another white guy, old white guy. What does age have to do with it? That's ageism right there. Telling students what to do with their bodies. Yeah, because governors never tell anybody what to do with their body. Mm-mm. That's why they just don't sign any legislation anymore, because they don't want to tell anybody what to do with their body. California lawmakers passed resolution. Wait a second. Hold on. A second.
Hold on.
I think you've forgotten here my nickname, Mixmaster Freel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. California legislators... Lawmakers pass resolution calling on all religious groups to embrace LGBT worldview.
Yep.
Huh?
Yeah. Luckily, it's only a resolution, though.
Yes, it doesn't really have any oomph to it.
Yeah, that.
But this is a sign
have any impact.
Of the direction of which way they're headed.
Oh, yeah.
This is concurrent resolution 99. introduced by Democratic Assemblyman Evan Lowe. Oh, 99. The resolution calls on all Californians, including religious groups, to embrace the individual and social benefits of family and community acceptance of LGBTQ plus people. Calls upon religious leaders to counsel on LGBTQ matters from a place of love, compassion, and knowledge of the psychological and other harms of conversion therapy. I see. So we're causing the psychological problems by preaching regeneration in Christ. Huh. I thought somebody who's confused like that already had a psychological issue. Nevertheless. Oh. Oh, sorry. I've already read this paragraph that you're about to hear. The stigma associated with LGBTQ, often created by groups in society, including therapists and religious groups, has caused disproportionately high rates of suicide, attempted suicide, depression, rejection, and isolation among LGBTQ and questioning individuals, the resolution declares. Oh, I guess if you keep making the claim long enough, somebody's going to start to believe it. Any scientific proof for that? Not a bit. It will be interesting, sad, but interesting. If in X number of years, when there's just total LGBTQ, you rah-rah every place, if the suicide and depression rate is still as high, and I would suggest to you it will be, because it is not Christians that are causing them to commit suicide. It is the guilt of their sin that is leading them to depression. The shame that cannot be shaken, even if a culture affirms every single thing that they do, it won't make any difference. Don't let this ruse take root that Christians are the one responsible for people's responses to their sins. This is Wretched Radio. If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother could not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Halloween is right around the corner already, and that means you can either turn off your porch light and, you know, hide from the kids going door to door, or you can give away candy and toes. Our evangelistic booklet, Don't Stub Your Toe, is perfect to give away with the candy. I mean, not only will the kiddos receive some sweet treats, but they'll also bring home the gospel to their parents who dig around looking for a Reese's peanut butter cup to eat. Maybe two. What could be more perfect than reading the gospel while getting cavities? Don't Stub Your Toe. It's a thorough, long gospel presentation, and it's in the perfect little pocket size. So order up your copies of Don't Stub Your Toe now at wretched.org/toe. That way, you'll make sure to have your copies on hand before Halloween rolls around, and you're stuck cowering in the dark from the little trick-or-treaters. wretched.org/toe and hand out candy and toes for Halloween. Visit wretched.org/toe today.
Forget the power of cheese, the power of the ultrasound.
Darlene came to our clinic. She's accompanied by her boyfriend. She just came from Planned Parenthood, but they were unable to provide an ultrasound because they charge for them, and she probably didn't have the money. When she's in the counseling room, apart from her boyfriend, she says that the relationship with the baby's father was probably going to end anyway. So she wanted to abort, presented the gospel. She politely declined the gospel. We gave her an ultrasound, and she walked out the door, still abortion-minded, with the ultrasound picture in hand. We made another call for her a couple days later, and she said, you know, I can't come in, but do you know where I can get some prenatal vitamins? And she had chose life.
One ultrasound, $28. $28, one life. How many ultrasounds could you provide through preborn.org/wretched? Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Let's play You Be the Judge. As always, our very own in-house Lutheran, Tony Verkennis, will represent the tens and tens of people listening to this year Wretched Radio program. Tony, are you prepared for your rather onerous... annoying responsibility to determine which article is most disturbing. That's right. Wow. Have we got a lot of articles for your consideration. Are you ready, sir?
I need a pen then. Hang on. I'm ready.
You know what? I'm gonna need one, too. There's way too much stuff here going on, and I'm going to have to number these dealios, so try to keep this straight. What happened to my evolving pen? Where did that thing go?
You had an evolving pen?
It evolved itself. It just came
together.
Maybe
it left.
All by itself. No, it evolved legs and walked away.
It just did.
Exactly. Story number one out of Canada. Kid drag queen sashay their way into the spotlight. There you go. Number one right there.
That's an easy one. Yes, because they do.
It's CBC's new drag kids documentary going to be airing in Canada. The kids appear on a Montreal stage slaying. Is what it's called. Now, see, there are some people in the health and wealth movement that might take issue with what it means to slay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Both of them, really bad shows, is what you got in common right there. So maybe the name is appropriate. Number one, little kids sashaying their way into the spotlight. Story number one. Story number two. Well, we've got a bit of a theme here.
Yeah.
Baptist Church makes history, calls transgender pastor. Now, see, here's the good news about this. The transgender pastor they called is a she, which means she is actually a he. So at least they didn't violate 1 Timothy 3. See, I'm trying to look on the bright side of things right here.
Wow, that's a
That was some work,
tough
wasn't
rubber
it?
Band you got.
Uh-huh. This was in Ohio at a Baptist church, founded as First Baptist Church, July 1866. Listen. You can hear the cemetery.
A lot of spinning noises.
Yeah. And is affiliated with the Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America, the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists, the Alliance of Baptists, and the American Baptists who haven't read their Bible in over three decades. Association. So there's story number two for your consideration. Got to put those in order so when we do our stunning recap, they're all set to go. Story number three. We'll break up our transgender stories for a moment, shall we?
Bless
Great
you.
Britain. The British Army is considering phasing out fossil fuel powered tanks. That's right. They want to save the planet and attract more recruits who are worried about global warming because you know how tree huggers love to join the military. So the thinking here is solid from top to bottom.
Wow.
Story number three. Should we do another military story? You got it. This one is, this is a good one. Portland, right here. The Thorns. Apparently, this is the National Women's Soccer League in Portland.
Yep.
That's in Oregon. I think that's how you say it, isn't it? My
Oregonian
friends. Huh?
Oregon.
Portland Thorns, the fans, boo U.S. Armed Forces. Here's what happened at the National Women's Soccer League game. The Armed Forces swearing-in ceremony happened on Wednesday. And everybody cheered when they came out. They thought apparently enough people in Portland that like women's soccer are still okay with the military. But then when they were asked to swear to obey the orders of the President of the United States.
There it is.
Didn't mention anybody's name, just the President of the United States. Boos were rained down on them.
They know that changes, right?
Good sign for our country right there. What changes? Oh, the president changes?
The president changes. The office is about the same, but the president does change.
Well, depends on the next election. Commandant might be the new title. I'm just saying, could be. Or what are they? What are they called in communist and socialist countries?
Comrade.
Comrade. Okay, comrade. That would have been better.
Commandant, comrade.
Wish
close.
I hadn't missed rehearsal today. That was story number four.
Yes, it was.
Oh, wait. I forgot number three is our
I'm annoyed already.
Thing right there. Okay, that's four. Okay, let's try this one. Ah! Ah! Ho-ho-ho! I'm not going to tell you the state yet. Low-income women are now going to be paid by the government for transportation so that they can go get an abortion. That's right. A city in a town, not going to mention the name of the state, rather, voted to allocate $150,000 to make abortion care more accessible by funding services like travel, lodging, child care, well, that's ironic, and other logistical support for women who need the procedure. Need it. Nobody needs an abortion. Nobody, ever.
Wait. Oh, you're not going to bring up that weak, it's never medically necessary thing, are you?
It's never medically necessary. Now, if we have to save the woman's life and we lose the child, that's a tragedy, but that's not an abortion, which is the intentional taking of an innocent human being. This would be the first U.S. city to publicly fund logistical support for abortion care. Here's a quote for you. This is the guy who led the charge. Every day, the anti-abortion elements in our state and Washington, D.C., wake up and think, how can we restrict access to abortion today?
Well, yeah.
No, we'd say our prayers first. Then you get into the
Well, they're part of my prayers, so.
That makes it our job every day to work to expand access to abortion and health care and other basic services related to abortion. Tony, would you like to guess what city and state this is?
New York. Portland? Minneapolis. Chicago? I don't know.
You're saying the obvious ones. Think of an unobvious one. Think the
Malacca?
South. What? Not a state yet, is it?
Fairbanks, Nome.
Right. Austin, Texas it is. You're correct.
That's not it.
Hang on. Yeah.
Austin doesn't even count as Texas anymore. You know what?
How's that's still part of Texas? I thought they
was
kicked
it
him
Austin
out.
Austin that we're getting rain like a nobody's business? That's story number five. Congratulations, Austin. Can a city secede from the state?
No, but I think the state wants to kick him out.
Let's see. Where are we at? Story number six, seven? Is that where we are?
Sure.
Oh, this is a nice one right here.
Number six.
Number six. United Nations sees increase in child soldiers recruited in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is really sad. I'm reading the details here. Do you know who's abducting these kids? I've got the names right here. It's the Lutheran Liberators.
Of course they are.
Yeah, and then you've got the Free Baptist Freedom Fighters. They're taking the kids to enlist them. And then, of course, you've got the Episcopal. No, let's forget the Episcopal. Let's really forget the Episcopalian, shall we? This would be, your Methodist Movers and Shakers. That's what you got. The Episcopalian Progressives. You get the point.
Yeah.
It's the Muslims. They're taking the kids, basically, is what they're doing right there, South Sudan. You know.
I'm annoyed enough already. Sorry, there's more.
You can't be annoyed. They're Muslims.
Sorry.
You can't, even though they're abducting children for warfare, we don't get mad at them because they're more noble than those white European Christian males. Story number seven. Is that where we are?
Yep.
Why? You know what? What did I have to eat? Why am I feeling kind of like an acidy sort of feeling in my
stomach? It's the annoying of all the headlines.
I learned that at the doctor's office, by the way.
From the magazine?
It was I was reading the doctor. There was a thing that I read. It was like a flow chart. It was a you know, where it had pictures and stuff, which I like because I can read it faster then. And it was a flip chart. That's what I'm looking for. It was talking about the people who have irritable bowel syndrome, that worry and stress. And I thought, well, that would make some sense because, once again, there is a connection between your soul and body. You're worrying about stuff. Kind of, you're thinking that's abstract, causes stomach acid. But there's a connection. I buy that.
Sure.
But then it also said childhood trauma. Uh-oh. That kind of smelled a wee little bit of some Freudian psychology to me. Story number 7. Vermont lowers the age for gender surgery to include children. All courtesy of the taxpayers of Vermont.
Wow.
Just extended their Medicaid program to include gender reassignment surgeries for minors. With the permission of their parents, for now, children who aren't even eligible to rent a car going to be able to get their body altered. Now remember, they can't change their gender. That's who God made you to be, and you can mutilate your body, or you can put a lot of chemicals into it, but you don't change your gender. That is indeed assigned not by parents. We identify what it is, pinks and blues. God assigns gender. Taxpayers picking up the tab. That's story number 7 right there. Tony?
Oh,
I quit. No
I'm
more.
I'm with you.
You, wait a second. Hold on a second. Mixmaster Friel at the ready here. Tony, we have had 7 stories. And now it's time for you be... Yeah. There it is right there. Hold on. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You
quickly, man. Drag queens in Canada. Baptist Church calling a transgender pastor. British Army phasing out fossil fuels. Portland, they boo the U.S. Armed Forces or the president. Low-income women getting access to abortion in Texas. The Sudan, child soldiers, and finally number 7, gender assignment for kiddos in Vermont paid for by the taxpayers. 5 seconds, go.
I find the one that is most annoying is the one that most dishonors the Lord God.
So we have ourselves a tie, is what we got.
All of them are
right?
Annoying
Once
and wrong.
Again,
evil, vile,
nothing
disgusting.
But a definitive conclusion until
Icky.
Tomorrow.
Bad.
Well, go serve your king.
Gag.